The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
So today's scripture reading is from Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 to 9. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. Amen. Thanks, Sarah.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, over this side of the room, smile and wave, smile, wave, thank you, that's good. Okay, and over this side of the room, smile, wave, smile, very good, all right. Now a selfie, okay, everyone ready? Selfie, here we go, perfect. How many of you have a phone? Camera of some sort, video, drone, who knows, any type of camera? Today, most of us have some sort of way to take photos, some way to record our lives. Why do you take photos? To remember. Yeah. We take photos so that we have a way to remember different events in our life, different things that have occurred. In my life, these are just a few photos that I've chosen to be part of my journey with you this morning. These are things like my son graduating, my daughter's first flight as a pilot of a plane. All sorts of things that have happened through our life, and I've taken photos so that I have a record of them, so that I have a memory of them. Some of the memories aren't fabulous. The bottom right there, it's a flood. You'll hear a little bit more about that later. Joshua chapter 4, verse 21 and 20 to 22. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground.'" I'm a homeschooler. And last year, Katie, my daughter and I, we did a unit on Anzac Day. And as part of the journey, we went and explored all around the place. And we found little memorials. We found big memorials, and we found places where people gathered on an annual basis to remember our fallen soldiers, to remember events that changed the future of our country. We found places where people gathered to remember occurrences. It's an important part of what we do as Australian culture. Not every country in the world does this. We remember Anzac Day. We pause on November 11th. We remember. And we often do this at these sort of memorials. Today I'm speaking to you about generational faith through testimonies. Now, testimony is just another way of saying telling your story. So this morning, I plan to share some stories with you. There are some biblical examples. These are things that God has put into place so that the people of Israel could remember God's faithfulness to them. Each of these examples, and this is not a comprehensive list of what God has done for his family. It's just a little list, but each and every single one of those demonstrates God's faithfulness, and there's a story behind it. The Jordan River stones. We touched on that story a little bit this morning. Those stones told generation after generation about God's faithfulness of bringing his children across the Jordan River into the land that he promised them. Jacob's stone at Bethel. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, my dad preached on Jacob and his journey through disappointment, and at Bethel where he wrestled with God. And he set up a stone to remember that is where he encountered God. Manna in the jar. The Israelites traveling through the wilderness for 40 years. And this demonstrated God's faithfulness to them every single day, even when they were not faithful. God is faithful. The festival of Purim, when Queen Esther, through her obedience and willingness to sacrifice, was able to be used by God to defeat Haman and his plan to destroy the entire nation of Israel, all of his people. The Passover, quite probably my favorite story from the Old Testament. How, without God's faithfulness, could a group of estimated 2 million people escape from under Pharaoh and leave him behind and escape? And all the story, all the parts to that story, each step along the way demonstrating God's faithfulness to his children. And the resurrection, the one action in history, the one event in history that has changed the future of the world. It doesn't matter what people outside think. The resurrection changed the very direction of society. It changed our futures forever. And the resurrection is the biggest, loudest demonstration of God's faithfulness, not only to his children, the children of Israel, but now to his new and extended family, us. Stories of God's faithfulness. This morning we're going to be sharing some stories. We're going to be telling stories of God's faithfulness. Testimonies. I encourage you, listen. And if you find yourself hurting, disappointed, because this person's story is not how yours turned out, instead of turning off and being angry, listen to God's faithfulness and take time at the end to come and get prayer. The enemy likes to use disappointment and rejection, and he likes to use those to stop you from receiving God's faithfulness to you. So instead of feeling the frustration of your story not being the same as what you hear, make room for healing to happen this morning. Penny, would you please come and join me this morning? Thank you. And would you please tell the story of God's faithfulness?
Hello, I'm Penny. For those who don't know who I am, I'm Sarah's mum. She asked me to share a story and I prayed about what to share. And I am going to share something quite big with you later. But this week God gave me a little story to share. And I felt he wanted to say to you to look for God in the little things. Not just the big things. We often overlook the little things. And this week, Sarah's sister Beck had her birthday and she said to me, "Mom, please would you make my birthday cake?" And I thought, and she didn't want any cake. It was a specific cake and it's fairly complicated. And I thought, great. Yep, I can do that. And I have made it before. And it's really good to have two very good tins, baking tins to make it in. And I only had one and it wasn't ideal because it wasn't a loose bottom tin. And I thought, oh, I could make do. But then I thought, well, let's just see what I can find. So on Monday, I went to get the ingredients for the cake. And I thought, I'll go to Woolies at the range. And then I thought, you know what? I think I'll go to Coles. Because if I can't find tins there, maybe Kmart have something.
So I walked into Coles and got my trolley and got some things, and I got to the kitchen section, and there on clearance, not on special, on clearance, was the perfect non-stick springform tin reduced to $4.50. But I could only find one and I needed two. So I stood there and thought, oh, well, I guess one would be okay. Anyway, I kept looking, and off to the side, pushed away behind other things where it shouldn't have been, was the second tin. There were only two in the whole place, reduced to $4.50, and I got both of them. So look for God in the little things. So my big story is that, for those of you, most of you know that Doug and I migrated to Australia by God's grace from Zimbabwe, and I thought God would have me share one of the stories because it was quite miraculous, but no. When I was praying, I thought, I felt to tell this story. So we had been here quite a few years, and my mum had stayed behind in Zimbabwe. She'd remarried, but her husband had since died, and she'd become quite frail and unwell. And we received a telegram to say that she had fallen and broken her hip and she wasn't doing well at all. And it was recommended that we try and get there to be with her. So we prayed, and we couldn't afford for all of us to go. So it was decided that I would go on my own for 3 weeks. Fortunately, I had friends, Sharon and Gary in Bulawayo, who were still there, who could accommodate me and help me. A few days before I went, I was just going about my business, and I clearly heard a voice say to me, if you go, you won't come back. And I knew that that wasn't God. I knew. So I told Doug, and we prayed together, and we contacted our church family, and they started praying for me. Anyway, subsequently, I got to Zimbabwe, and through the 3 weeks I was there, I saw God's grace and miracles in so many ways. The health system had declined quite significantly by then. There was one decent nursing home in Bulawayo, and my mum needed care. The waiting list was years long. God got me a bed in the nursing home for my mum so that she could be looked after. Yeah. She jumped the whole queue, years queue. I had Justice of the Peace sign documents for her and then look at me and say, I don't know why I signed that. I really shouldn't have signed it at that point, but I knew. So at the end of three quite intense weeks, my friend Sharon on the Saturday said to me, let's go to Chipinganga. So just outside Bulawayo, there's an animal orphanage called Chipinganga, and they have lion cubs and baby this, and it's really, really cute, and you all want to go now, don't you? Yes. And you can play with lions and all sorts of things. And so we decided to go and have some fun. We were going to go with Sharon's mum in Sharon's car, which was quite small, and then Joan, her mum, said, no, look, let's take mine. It's a bit bigger. So Joan was driving, Sharon in the front, and I'm in the back. We drove onto the main road towards Chipinganga, and we got to the main intersection where, on the right, the road came in from Harare, the capital. We were in the left-hand lane, and the traffic light changed to amber. We stopped, and we remember a bus going through on the right, and Sharon thought, wow, he cut that a bit fine. Coming the other way was a van overloaded with people, and the driver was drunk. And he decided, oh, I can get through that traffic light easily. I don't need to stop. Coming to the right from Harare was a car with a young couple with a baby in the back. And the van ran the red light. By then, the couple had entered the intersection in their car, and the two cars collided in the middle of the intersection. And they say that things like this happen in slow motion, and they do. We watched both cars come spinning through the intersection towards us. There was, without God, no way that we should have survived that accident. But I am confident that God had angels moving cars then. Because one car hit the front of Joan's car. I don't know if it was the van, or I can't remember. And the other car hit the back. If we'd been in the smaller car, we would have had no hope of surviving. The car was totaled, and we all survived without a scratch on us. The young couple in the car, sadly, were both killed instantly, and various people in the van were injured. I know that God was in that. That was a big thing for me. The enemy wanted to take me out, and God said, no, your time's not up yet. I've got more things for you to do. And I saw God move in a big way, and that's why I'm here today. So look for God in the little things, like cake tins in Coles, and look for God in the big things as well.
Thank you, Mom. And I, for one, am very glad that Mum is still here. Very, very appreciative. So I'd like to share a story from my life. Glenn and I lived in the Philippines. We were missionaries there for over a decade. And we received exciting, vibrant news while we were there. After a scan and visiting with our doctor over there, we discovered that we were pregnant with twins. It was such an exciting day. We shared this news far and wide. We told family, we told friends. It was just shouted from the rooftops. We were so thrilled. Less than 2 months later, I went through an horrific, it was terrible, loss of the baby. I had a miscarriage and I lost both the twins. At the same time, I nearly died myself. I was bleeding so badly that Glenn rushed me to the hospital and the doctors took me straight in for emergency surgery to try and stop the bleeding. The surgery was successful, obviously, because I'm standing here and I didn't die. But I remember waking up with realization that I had lost my babies. And it was terrible. It was traumatic. To go through that experience of losing family and then going through a major surgery. And surgery in the Philippines, hospitals in the Philippines are a little bit different to here. They're a bit different. I'm grateful because they saved my life. Now, after going through recovery, I was sent to the ward. And on the ward, back then, you had to have somebody in the room with you to look after you. They didn't bring things to you. Your person had to look after you. They had to go and get the water and they had to go get your meals and they had to look after you. Well, at the time, Glenn had to go home and look after our two little people telling Ethan and Jasmine what had happened. He had to break the news that their mum was in hospital, that their baby siblings had died and that he was devastated while he was trying to tell them this. While he was away, there was an earthquake. While I'm in the hospital, recovering from surgery, the drip in my arm was on a stand with wheels. It rolled away into the corner of the room and tore out of my arm and left. The hospitals there are a little bit different. Just a little bit. Moving on, I went back to Australia, spent some time with my mum. I saw my doctor. I went on to a specialist. I had scans done. And they broke the news to me that even though the surgery had saved my life, there was just so much damage done to the uterus. There is no way I could have another baby. And this news broke my heart. I was devastated. Glenn was devastated. We went through grief and loss. And I fell into a disappointment that was really hard to explain. I lost all hope. For the next 2 years, whilst I walked through life and because I've got the vibrant, outgoing personality, most of the people around me wouldn't have known how much pain I was in, how disappointed I was. But I've walked through life for 2 years hurting. God, why? God, why? Every year, we hold a Catalyst Youth Leadership Academy. This is where young people from all across the Philippines came and joined us in Davao, and we did a six-week training. 6 weeks, they learned practical and theory about leadership. We did a whole week, what we called Clean Out Week, and that was where we dealt with rejection and disappointment and addictions. We did a week which was so focused on worship and prayer and allowing God to fill us up. We ran 2 weeks of camps where our young leaders who had been in training then became the leaders for these camps. And the final week, we sent them out onto the mission field to go and work for a week using the skills that they had developed out in the mission field. At the end of that week, everybody came back and we finished with a day of absolute celebration. It was a party to remember. There was dinner, food, lots of food. There was food. There was a praise and worship service that was extraordinary. Preaching, celebration. It was magnificent. It was a way to celebrate the end of this 6 weeks of work. Now I'd finished, I had led worship, and I had thoroughly enjoyed myself. It was a wonderful worship service. I hopped off the stage and I went and sat all the way back where Corinne is right now. All the way, as far away as I could from the stage. And I sat there. I couldn't tell you what the sermon was about. I've no idea to this day what was preached. But as I sat there, I kept hearing, hope restored, heart healed. Your hope needs to be restored. You need to hope again. It's time to hope. And as I was sitting there and just hearing this again and again, and it was very repetitive, sitting, sitting. The sermon finished and the preacher hopped straight off the stage and walked straight to me, laid hands on me and prayed, may your heart be healed and let your hope be restored so that the miracle that is waiting can have somewhere to birth. Oh, wow. I felt like God, like a fire burning through me. And there was a lot of ugly tears. I cried and God healed me and I could feel my hope come back. Feel my hope restored. That night, Glenn and I acted on our hope. And 9 months later, Caitlin Hope Biggs was born. God is a restorer of hope. And without hope, there can be no miracle. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If we lose hope, there's nowhere for God to act in our life. If you've lost hope, come and get prayer this morning. God wants to restore hope today. Jasmine, come and join me, please.
Thank you. Sorry about the red face. I've heard that story already once today, but it still brings me to tears. Yes, so as you can see on the screen, my name is Jasmine Viggs, and I am Sarah's daughter. And I am up here to share a testimony of my own. So as you've learned, we lived in the Philippines, and in the Philippines, we used to get a very intense rainy season, and we used to get quite a lot of floods, actually, and we had a pretty bad flood, actually, and it had caused a lot of damage, and it was very high water, and as you can see up on the screen, actually, there's one of our Filipino friends. And the Filipinos have a lot of trouble swimming. It's not for people who live on islands and such, they're not very good swimmers. So we usually spend a lot of time during these floods chasing them around, giving them life jackets. But yeah, so this flood had happened, and we are still cleaning up after the damage of this last flood. Yeah, we've lost a lot and we're still cleaning up after it. And me, as a little 6-year-old girl, is not very useful and not very helpful in cleaning up. So I remember that myself and my brother Ethan, we were playing off in the room, and I remember the moment that the adults, my parents and some of the other leaders, they all heard the news that the river not far from us had broken its banks again. And and I remember the instant the parents and the adults, they all started like planning, and they're like, what do we need to grab? We need to leave. Like, we're out of here again. And
I panicked. I just panicked.
Yeah, so the parents are all over there and they're all gathering stuff and talking and all of this. And I just heard this voice in my head and this urge, and I mean, little 6-year-old me, I've been taught since I was so little from wonderful grandparents and wonderful parents that this was my father and that I could trust him. And so I did what the voice said, and I followed the urge. So little 6-year-old me stood up, and to the best of my abilities, I faced whichever direction the river was. Give or take, I'm not very directionally good, but anyway. And it's a little 6-year-old girl stood there with her hands on her hips, all with a very indignant look on my face. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you water, you turn around right now and go back into that river. And then I turned around and I went back to playing. And it wasn't long after that that the adults all heard the news that miraculously, impossibly, the water had stopped. It was crashing, like full speed coming towards us, and suddenly it just stopped. And it started receding, and it went back into the river, and we did not get touched by that water. Nobody around us got flooded, and nobody else can explain it, but we know what happened. Our wonderful Father intervened, and He did a miracle, an absolute miracle, and prevented that flood. And I couldn't have done that if I hadn't been taught, if I hadn't had the wonderful parents that I did that taught me who my Father was and how much He loved me and what He was capable of. So anyway, that's my testimony. Thank you.
Thanks, Jess. Thank you, Jazz. I come from a legacy of faith. My mom is a first generation Christian, and she has birthed a legacy that is going to go from generation to generation. My dad comes from generation after generation after generation after generation of strong Christian people. We have a legacy of faith. Some of you here, you are first generation Christians. You're the first. And I'm excited for you because you are about to develop a legacy of faith that is about to pour through your families. And that's exciting. It's an exciting place to be. I want to encourage you, there are different ways to share your story. This morning, at morning tea, instead of talking about the weather, your favorite color car that you saw this week, or the item of clothing you bought because there are so many shops closing at Grand Central. Instead of talking about that, why don't you share God's story? Share a story with someone. Invite people to your house. Share a story at the dinner table, at a meal. Next time Glenn, who looks after the young adults, comes knocking and says, hey, would you host young adults for a progressive meal? Be excited, host them and share a story. Write down your experiences for future generations. If you haven't seen it yet, in the office, there's a book from Helen Habash. Helen wrote down God's faithfulness in her life. It is fabulous. Read it. Take time. You don't have to write a story and get it published, but write it down. We're encouraging my parents to write their story down, to record their story, so that their story of God's faithfulness all through their lives continues on. Make a video of your story. After the 8 o'clock service this morning, I was talking to one gentleman who came up to me and he said, I'm going to make a YouTube video of my story. I love it. I'm looking forward to watching the YouTube video of his story. I think it's fabulous. Write down a memorial stone moment. Write it down. It helps if you take the time and you stop and you write down that story. When has God shown up in your life? It doesn't have to be a big moment. I know we showed 3 really big stories. But Mum also showed little stories. Write down a memorial stone moment and share that story of God's faithfulness with someone else. Share your story. Tell someone. Joel chapter 1 verse 3 says, tell it to your children and let their children tell it to their children and so on and so on. Start a legacy of faith, passing on that faith through generations, telling stories. I can hear you now. I can hear the objections. I can hear some of you sitting in the chair. I can hear some of you, I don't have any children or grandchildren. This doesn't even apply to me. Timothy was not Paul's son. Elisha was not Elijah's son. Joshua was not Moses' son. But they imparted into those young people. They poured God's faithfulness into those people. So much so that if you look at Elisha and Joshua and you look at their stories, the people who came after did bigger works and saw God move in bigger ways than the ones who imparted into their lives. Us in the older generation, and those of you who are in the generation above me, we should be imparting into the younger generation, watching and excitedly waiting for God to move in bigger and better ways. We are the ones who need to be imparting into those young people. There are rooms full of small children out there who are encountering God and discovering God's faithfulness for themselves. On Friday night, this place will be filled with a buzz of activity of young people ready to encounter God. They need to hear your story. They need to know about God's faithfulness. God has been faithful to you. Share your story. I don't have an amazing story of God's faithfulness. Okay, maybe you don't have a story about a car crash, having a baby, surviving a flood. But what you do have is you are part of God's family. How is it that you are sitting here this morning? You are part of God's family. Me, I am sitting here this morning because I grew up in a Christian home with godly values, and it was imparted into me to have a faith at a young age. You know, I never had to rebel. I never had to go into the dark side to discover that the light was real. I encountered God for myself, and I have walked an amazing life in God's family. And that is an awesome testimony. I remember as a teenager not thinking so much. You go to these big youth rallies and they'd have, we were talking about it after the last break, I am an axe murderer and I got saved. These huge stories. But you know what? My story is better. And those of you who have children and you are imparting into them, their story is going to be better. Because they don't have to experience the dark to know the light is real. They can encounter God and stay in his family and walk in the light their entire life. You are part of God's family. How did you get here? Share your story. How did you become part of his family? Share your story. Well, Sarah, I'm not an extrovert, and I find talking to people very challenging. In fact, I don't even like people. If you've met my husband, he is an introvert. He works hard. When he comes home from church or from young adults events, he is absolutely exhausted, worn out. But he has made a decision that he will step out and he will sow into people's lives. He will make that sacrifice even though it's uncomfortable. He will choose to impart into other people's lives even though it does not please him. He has chosen to impart into the young adults of this church. If you don't like talking to people, write it down. Practice it as a short story. Write it down and pass it on to people. If you can't speak to people, well, one, I'll help you. I'm very happy. I'm good at teaching people how to talk. Good at talking. You need to share testimony. It's one of the things God has told us to do. So there are people here who are happy to help you, but write it down. Then you're not trying to think off the cuff. You're not trying to make it up. Practice a short story. All right, so I'm going to demonstrate a short story for you. I'm going to show you how easy it is. You can go out there this morning and you can write it down because it's like you've got a sentence, all right? This story is a sentence long, and you can practice it on each other out there, okay? The Australian culture... Everywhere I have been around Australia, and I've travelled a lot recently, it's common. Morning, how you doing? Yeah, right. How are you doing? There's always a, how are you? How's it going? There's always question. Nobody actually cares about the answer. It's always just, yeah, right. Oh, okay. I'm doing fine. Whatever. Nobody really cares. It's just this is what we do. Yeah, right. This is us. This is Australians. I want you to shake it up a little bit. All right, here we go. Hey, Jasmine. Morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How are you?
I am doing so much better this week. Last week, I was so stressed. I had so much anxiety. This week, I am walking in God's peace because I gave all of that to him, and I am doing so much better this week. Thanks for asking. Now, I have practiced this. I don't tell you to do stuff that I don't do, okay? So I have practiced this. I've done this in the library. I've done this in shopping centres. I've done this on the farm. I've done this in a number of different places, and it works. You know what people do? They're walking past, hey, how you doing? I do that, and they go, stop. It stops them, and they listen. Your seed has been sown. We don't have to be there and walk them through the whole process of salvation. You sow a seed. It's God's job to deal with that seed. We are to share our story. We are to pass on that legacy of faith. And we all, every single one of you here, you have a story. So this morning, why don't you head on out there for your coffee, your tea, your Milo, or your cordial. I like cordial. And then sit down and share your story. If it's one sentence long, do it. Encourage each other. Help each other find a one sentence story. That's a good place to start. You have a story. Share your story and pass on a legacy of faith to the next generation. Take a moment now and ask, what did God say to you today? And what will you do with what you have heard? Let's pause. Well, Father, it has been such a privilege to be here together in your presence, to glorify you, to honor you, to worship you in song, and to hear your word. Help us to find that story and share the story that you've given us. Let us make a choice today to step out of what we feel comfortable in and to impart into all others, to share our story, to believe in enough to impart into the next generation. We thank you, Father, for the opportunities. In Jesus' name, amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.